This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So, Parshas Vayechi, what's intriguing, if you ask the Bar Mitzvah boy who leans Vayechi, one of the difficulties is, although it's a fairly short Parsha, the Rashi's are a bit long, but it's a shortish Parsha, the difficulty is that if you're trying to find the place of Vilna Bal Korah, it's not so easy to find. You see, all other Sedras begin on a new line, or at least have nine letters at the beginning of the Parsha. But Parshas Vayechi is called Sesuma. It's a closed Parsha, which means that there is no extra space between the Vayechi, the first word of the Parsha, and the preceding Parsha. Why is that? So Rashi gives the following reasons, two reasons. If you've got the sheet, it's the first box on the sheet. Please email me at j.golka@gmail.com and I'll send you the sheet. Says the Rashi, Lomba Parsha Zususuma, the Fishakiv and Shenifta Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu passed away, as he does at the beginning of this week's Parsha, Nistamu Enehem, the Libom Shel Yisrael, the eyes and hearts of the Jewish people close, Mitzoras Hashibut Sheshibu Leshabdom. In other words, the mood of Yaakov's children and descendants was closed in expectation of the impending galus of the spiritual exile. And therefore, that's reflected in the actual layout of the parasha, that it's actually closed. Another reason Rashi says, Dova Acher, Shebikesh Legalos Es Haketz, Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the end of time, when Moshiach is going to come, V'nistalka Shechina Mimenu, and the Shechina departed from him, V'hiskel Eim Dvar Machayim, and he started saying other things. And therefore, if you like, Yaakov Avinu's prophetic vision was closed, it was concealed from him. Rav Gedalia Shar is one of the Aaron Kotler called him the first American Gadol. He was born and bred in America. He went to Europe for a few years, but he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'Das. And in Rav Gedalia, he says the following reason, that spaces, Chazal say, it's a Zohar which says, Yistakel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baraisa Bara Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into the Torah and created the world. The Torah is the blueprint for creation. And therefore, after the Chazal tells us, if you look at the second paragraph of the section of the Aron Gedalia, which I've got on the sheet, will be Yeseh Bira Pi Divrei Chazal, Mo Hoyu Hafseikos Meshamshos. Why? What is the reason for there being gaps in the Torah? Litin Revach Lispoinin Ben Parsha LaParsha. To give opportunity, to give a person time for reflection about what he's just learnt. Hainu, says the Aron Gedalia, The parsha is an opportunity to learn through, to sort of bring out the light and all the secrets of that particular parsha. But if it's closed, the nistar, and it's hidden, then because we're talking about a parsha of Golus, and there's no time for reflection, after the death of Yaakov Avinu, his children didn't have the capacity to reflect and to understand the proper conclusion of events as described in this week's parasha. So therefore, that's hinted to, if you like, in the parasha being Sesuma. Okay, be that as it may. Now, what I want to do this evening is expand on an amazing essay that I saw in the writings of Rabbi Leff in Outlooks and Insights. It's not on this week's parasha, but it's in Parshas Vezos HaBracha. And it's a beautiful piece which begins with a Rashi in this week's parasha. I mentioned above, Rashi says, Bikesh, Yaakov Avinu wanted legalos es haketz, to reveal the end of time to his children, all the secrets of what will happen when Moshiach comes, when he will come, etc. V'nistalka Shechina Mimenu, and the Shechina departed from him, v'hiskel Eim Dvar Machayim. Now, a few questions, four questions Rabbi Leff asks. Question number one. He then moved on to other things and didn't reveal the kates. What did he do? He blessed his children. But did he really bless the children? If you go through the parsha, first of all, he seems to castigate Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He tells them off. Reuven, he says, Pachas Kamayin, that you acted in a hurry, you were impetuous. Shimon and Levi, Klechomos, he cursed Oru Apom, he cursed their anger. To the extent, Rashi brings, that after Reuven and Shimon and Levi came forward to get their quote-unquote brachas, Yehuda backed off and said, listen, if these are brachas, not for me, thank you. But then he said he drew him near. And in any event, Yehuda and some of the other brothers, what was their bracha? They were compared to various animals. So is that really called a bracha? And yet the Torah says, Kabirchose Beirach Esom, and Vaivarech Esom, and he did bless them. So what is the nature of this bracha? What exactly does it mean? That's question number one. Question number two, a very intriguing medrash. The medrash says, this is in the bottom box of the page, Om Rebbe Medrash, She'omi Yaakov LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Bebonai Shum Chet. Amongst my children, Mitasi Shlema, none of them have got any chet. How do I know that? Ki Ein Be'echod Mehem Lo Ches V'lo Tes. In none of my children, in their names, does the letter Ches or Tes appear. Naftali is spelt with a Tof. Ches or Tes. Therefore, that's a hint to the fact there is no chet, there is no sin in my children. So Omel HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues the Medrash. Afal Pikein Eini Ritzuyin Negalis Lam Kates. I don't want you to reveal the Kates to them. Ki Ein Beshum Echod Mehem LeKuf VeLeTzadi, because there's two other letters which are hidden from their names, and namely the Kuf and the Tzadi. You won't find the letter Kuf or Tzadi in the names of the Shrotim. So what exactly does that mean? That the Medrash says the letters Ches and Tes don't appear in the names of the Shrotim because no Chet can be found in their names, but if then the letters Kuf and Tzadi are not found in their names, does that mean that the Gula is not inherent in the Shrotim and in Klal Yisrael? What exactly does that mean? Third question. There is another Medrash, top of the next page. Yaakov Bikosh Legalos Lebonav Esaketz, as we just said, Lemah Hadavid Doimeh. What is this compared to, says the Medrash? Le'eved she'eminu ha'melech kol ma she'biyodei bo'ho eved lomz. There was a certain eved, and the king entrusted everything to this eved. And Nebuch, this eved got old and he was about to die. And he called Kora le'bonov la'sosum b'nei chorin. He called in his children because he wanted to free them v'loim alohem heichen bayit kisholohem and to reveal all the secrets of the king. Yoda ha'melech ha'dovah, the king got wind of this. Omad lo lemala hemenu, he came into the room and he stood by the bed. Ro'os ha'melech, and this Eved who was about to reveal the secrets saw him. Ve'hifliges ha'dovar shehoi mevakish legalus lohem. Hischil medaber ho'eved lebonov, and he started talking about other things. What did he say? Bevakosha mikem atem avodov shalmelech, you are the servants of the king. Hei mechabdi noise k'moshe yisiani mechabdi kol yomai. Please honor the king in the same way that I have honored him throughout my life. Kach, so too, by Yikri Yaakov Abonov, Legalus and Isakates, Nigle Lema Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov Avinu, Kivin Sheroes Yaakov, Hiskel Oimel Abonov, Bevakosha Mechem, Mehevim Mechabdim Kodesh Baruch Hu, make sure you honor Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kashem Shechibduhu, Ani Vavesa, like me and my fathers have honored Kodesh Baruch Hu. Atkan the Medrash. Two questions. Question number one. We seem to understand that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the case, the Kates, the end of time, but he suddenly forgot. So the Shechina left him and he was unable to do so. But the Medrash seems to imply that the Kates was not forgotten, but rather it was suppressed out of embarrassment. It's not quite the same. And the fourth question is, how do Yaakov's blessings compare to the exhortation to obey and honor the king? Which is how he switched to this other topic and exhorted them to obey and honor the king. How is the brachas an analogy to that? Okay, so those are the four questions. Now, the Rabbi Lev gives an amazing answer, which I think is really fundamentally important. The Gemara in Brachas, Tav Zayin and Beis says, Shema Garin, something we've spoken about in the past, that the name of a person tells you about the essence of the person, who that person really is. Moreover, there is a Gemara in Yuma Daf Chof on the base. The Gemara says, Ton Rabbonim, Sholosh Kolos Hochi Misofa Ol Matzofa. There are three voices which are heard from one end of the world to the other. One of them is, Kol Neshama B'Shah Sheyotze Min Aguf. The call, the voice of the Neshama, the scream that the Neshama gives out at the moment it's about to leave the Guf. Now, what does that mean? The Reb Chaim Volozhin gives the following explanation. A person has different names. The name he has in this world, the name he has in Olam Haba, the way others people call him, all different types of names. Avraham Avinu at the Akedah is told, Avraham, Avraham. The Zohar says on this Pasuk that the name Avraham in this world, at that point when he finished and completed the 10th and final Nisayon, had actually sort of fulfilled his potential, and it mirrored the Avraham in Shammai. But at that point, Avraham fulfilled his potential. Every name that we have, we should fulfill, it contains our potential, the name we're given at the bris or at birth. And our job in life is to fulfill that potential and to mirror the name that is expected of us in Shammai. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim, an interesting thing. When a baby is conceived and is in the mother's stomach, the Malach comes, the Gemara Nida tells us, and teaches the child Torah. It doesn't just mean it teaches it Torah, it means that it charges this child with its mission in life, with what is expected of that child. After 120 years, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, the neshama, that person, meets again with that Malach who taught him Torah and says, did you fulfill your potential? Did you meet the challenge? And sometimes the gap between what is and what could have been or what should have been is so huge that the neshama gives out a scream. That's what the Gemara in Yuma says. That's how Rav Chaim Volozhin explains that Gemara. In other words, a person is charged in this world to fulfill their potential. That's why the Gemara in Brachas, I've got it low down on the page, the Gemara in Brachas says in Zayin Amud Aleph, Ki avim miftu rabbonim mibeir avami, when the rabbis would sort of take leave of each other, Omri lehochre would say the following, Eilomecha tire b'chayecha, may you see your world in your lifetime. What does that mean? Eilomecha tire b'chayecha. It says of Shimon Schwab, it means, Eilomecha means the hidden part of you. Eilom, your world, it comes from the words he'elam or ne'elam, that which is hidden from you, i.e. your potential. Eilomecha tir b'chayecha, the bracha was, may you see your potential in your lifetime. What a beautiful bracha. That's the greatest bracha anyone can give, to fulfill your potential, your mission in this world. Now, the development and the perfection of the world depends on the realization of every single person's fulfilling their own potential. Rabbi Lev conveys this with a lovely story. One time, there was a father who was looking after his young child. So it was a Sunday afternoon, and the father wanted to get a little Dremel, a little shut-eye on his settee and lie down for, you know, to have a bit of a rest. But his child was there and was young and was nudging him. So he came up with the following plan. He was reading a magazine, the father, and there was a picture of a map of the world. So he tore it out of the magazine. He tore it into 20 pieces. He then gave it to the child and said, look, why don't you get on and play a jigsaw puzzle? Put together this jigsaw puzzle. And the father was confident that he's going to have a bit of respite for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, surely it'll take for this kid to put this thing together. He lies down on the settee. And a few minutes later, the kid starts tugging on him and says, Daddy, I finished. He says, you can't have finished already. He says, yeah, I finished. Take a look. And sure enough, the kid had finished. He said, how did you do it so quickly? So the kid said, I turned over the pieces. On the other side of the magazine that you were reading was a picture of a man, a big picture of a man. And it was very easy to do that jigsaw puzzle because you just had a face and it's very easy to put the 15, 20 pieces together. And therefore, I put it together. And now I just turn it over. Says Rabbi Lev, that's really a moshel for life. The development, if we just do our bit, we put the face together, the world will fall into place. And that's the point. The development and the perfection of the world depends upon the realization of the potential of every single one of us. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Sadi Chesam Dal, a famous Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says there's a contradiction in Pesukim. When is Moshiach going to come? On one hand, it says Be'ito. On one hand, it says Achisheno. At the destined time, earlier, which one is it? Says the Gemara, Zochu Achisheno, Lo Zochu Be'ito. If Klal Yisrael merit it, then it's Achisheno, he will come early. But if they don't merit it, then Moshiach will come at the predestined set time, regardless of our actions. It's like a stop, the gap date, a sell-by date. So therefore, Be'ito is that that predestined set date. Achishenu is if Klal Yisrael do tshuva. By the way, this explains various problems. For example, the way the Geul is described in Tanakh is sometimes quite different. In Daniel, in Perek Zayin, it's described in very glowing terms. Well, that's if Klal Yisrael do tshuva. That's if it's Achishenu. However, in Zechariah, when it's described in more mundane terms, that's Be'ita. If we know we don't merit it, then he'll come by this certain time. It describes, for example, it explains the following, another contradiction, that Moshiach, Chazal say, will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's Be'ita. That's only if we wait and we don't merit it, and we have to wait till this last gap date. But the other Chazal which say the Beis HaMikdash will drop from Shemayim, that's if it's Achishenu, if we merit it. So there are ways to reconcile that based on this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now, going back to our four questions. Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the Kates. What does that mean? The Kates means the end of time when Moshiach will have to come by that date. But then he realized, I've got a much better idea. If I tell my children what their potential is, then if they can realize the potential inherent in each of them, if they have that self-knowledge, they can bring the Geula much quicker. So I'm not going to tell them the case, which is Be'ita. I'm going to tell them how they can achieve the Geula, Be'achishena, the quicker, earlier time. And that's really answers our various questions. What was the first question? The first question was, did Yaakov Avinu really bless his children? The answer is absolutely. Because the greatest bracha a parent or a Rebbe can give his child, his student, is to tell that child who they are and what they can achieve. Imagine you go to a careers fair, and the child, Baruch Hashem, I've got a nice shir in school, in Beis Medrash, and I've got lots of boys in the shir. And they go to the careers fair, and I see one guy, there's a table for an accountant, and for a dentist, and for a Rebbe, and for a teacher, and for a doctor, and for 1,000 different jobs. And I see one Talmud who's going over to a certain table, and that table, it says Chazonus. He wants to be a Chazon. So last Friday night, I had my shir around. They came around, and we were singing together. And I know that this one child, let's say, has got a terrible voice. Wouldn't it be a chesed of me to go over to this child, put my arm around his shoulder, and say, listen, my dear friend, you've got many, many strengths and many virtues, but singing is not one of them. I don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be a Chazon. That's the bracha. The bracha is to tell the child what their potential is. So that is exactly what Yaakov Avinu was doing. He was telling Reuven and Shimon and Levi, look, you're wonderful, but this is an area which is going to be a challenge for you. Pachas Kamayim, he says to Reuven. He tells Shimon and Levi, you've got a tendency for chomos, for violence. You've got to channel that in the right way. He compared some of the children to animals. He was explaining to each child what their strengths are and what their challenges might be and how to achieve their potential. The second question was, the Medrash says there's no ches and tes. Does that mean if there's no kuf and tzadi, there's no kates? What it means is this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu was telling them, I'm going to tell you where the kates is. I can tell you when the end of time is going to be, because that's going to happen come what may. But I don't need to do that. I've got a better idea. Moshiach can come sooner if you fulfill the potential inherent in each and every one of you. Because there's no ches and tes in your names. If you just fulfill your potential, then Achishena, Moshiach will come. And that explains the Medrash. The Medrash says that it seems to imply that Kate wasn't forgotten, but he was sort of suppressed out of embarrassment. How did Yaakov's blessing compare to an exaltation to Ben honor the king? That's exactly the point. It's not that he forgot the Kates. He just realized the king is standing here. I've got a better idea. If I charge my children to honor and to obey the king, then we will merit having Moshiach come quicker, fulfilling their potential. That's what it's about. Fulfilling the potential is the greatest honor and covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That finally explains some sort of mysterious, one of the Aseres HaDibros seems to be a little bit out of place. Lo Sachmod. If you construct your own top 10, I'm not sure that Lo Sachmud will get in there. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shabbos, Kibud Av V'Em, even the basic tenets of a social society of not murdering, of not committing adultery, etc., etc. I can understand they would be in there. Losachmud, is that so important? It makes it to the top 10. The Rikanti says Losachmud is fundamental to all mitzvahs. Moreover, the Chasan Sofa, not the Chasan Sofa, the Chasan Sofa in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Beis, says that each day of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva corresponds to one of the Aseres HaDibros. So Rosh Hashanah corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So it works out, Yom Kippur therefore corresponds to Losachmud. What's Losachmud got to do with Yom Kippur? So the explanation is this, an amazing thing. What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the ultimate day where we have an accounting for our year, the year that has just passed. What is the greatest indictment of a person? That he's not using the opportunities and talents that he has. So you get to Ne'ilah, and you think, you know, finally I'm ready to say sorry. You have the whole of Elul, the whole of Rosh Hashanah, the whole of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the whole of Yom Kippur. And if ever there was a time in Ne'ilah to say the Al-Chait, now's the time. And yet, in Ne'ilah, there's no Al-Chait. Strange, why is it not there? You know what replaces the Al-Chait? The amazing words of the Tefillah of Ne'ilah, Ato hivdalto enesh mirosh, l'manech dal me'oshek yodeinu. You know what we're saying sorry for? Because when push comes to shove, the last moments of Yom Kippur, the whole process of the Elul and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry for not using my potential as well as I should, not utilizing all the opportunities that you blessed me with. That's the greatest sorry we can say. So I think what we've seen this evening is a fabulously interesting idea of Rabbi Lev explaining what really goes on at the beginning of this week's parasha. It's a parasha susuma. It's a closed parasha for the reasons that Rashi gives in the Or Gedaliah, like we mentioned earlier. But the idea is that several questions. Yaakovin wants to reveal the cates. And then he's all of a sudden, and he goes and starts doing other things, blessing his children. It's a very cryptic passage and lots of questions. Did he really bless his children? What does it mean if there's no ches and tes, there's no kufin tzadi, there's no cates in the inherent, there's no gula inherent in the Jewish people? What's the other midrashim, what they all mean? The answer is that Yaakov Avinu was going to reveal the cates, but he thought, I've got a much better idea. If I instruct each child with who they are and charge them to fulfill their potential, then we can be zoche, not to be ito, but to achishena, the Moshiach coming at the earlier possible time. Mitz Hashem, in light of all of these ideas, we should be zoche to achishena, to Moshiach coming speedily and in our days, Mitz Hashem. Thank you very much for joining.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.